Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
I don't know if you heard today, but significant news. Green Party Deputy Leader Catherine Martin, well, she today gave her support to the plans for the new National Maternity Hospital. Minister Martin earlier asked for assurances about the services that will be provided at the hospital, which she says she now has now received from the Health Minister and from the St. Vincent's Healthcare Group. It's believed that work is underway on a codicil to be added to the existing legal documents, which would include a non-exhaustive list of procedures to be provided. Cabinet is due to approve the plan this Tuesday, but the Éireachtas Health Committee has written to the Minister for Health asking for a further delay. In a moment, Sarah will speak to the National Maternity Hospital's legal advisor. But first, let's hear from Green Party TD Patrick Costello, who's been giving me his reaction to Catherine Martin's announcement today.
Well, Catherine is saying that, you know, she has received assurances, including written assurances containing additional clarifications. And I think we all need those to see those additional clarifications. And I think the best way forward is this talk that now of a codicil, an addendum to the deal, giving clarity over what clinically appropriate means. And I think that's really the best way forward. We need to build trust now, and we need clarity. A phrase like clinically appropriate is very hazy. And I think a codicil, something legally clear, stating out what is going to happen, what can happen, and, you know, how there are no restrictions is essential now to build trust again with the women of Ireland.
So are you reserving your approval until you see the codicil?
I think we need the codicil. I think that is the best way to get these assurances and to include them. You know, this is a 299-year lease, and we need to be thinking about how somebody in year 298 will vindicate their rights. We've had a lot of talk in relation to the minister's golden share, but this current minister won't be the minister in 100 years' time. So this is why we need things in writing as part of the legal document.
I appreciate that. Are there many other people in the Green Parliamentary Party of a similar mind to you?
There are others, yes. And we're looking for, again, this is about clarity, this is about trust, this is about accepting that a lot of the public are very concerned about this, and they're concerned about the hazy nature of some of this. And this is about, as I say, ensuring access to healthcare and also building trust again.
The phrase clinically appropriate, is that your only area of concern now? What about ownership?
I think the clinically appropriate is my biggest area of concern, because it is about trying, you know, and a lot of concerns around ownership turn on what will and will not be allowed happen, and a fear that the ownership issue will be used as a way to prevent women getting services that they have a right to.
Can I ask you about what Peter Boylan said this morning? He said that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil parliamentary parties have been briefed that he was past it. Have the Green Party TDs been getting similar briefings?
No, I certainly haven't had anyone say that to me.
The protests at the weekend, the codicil isn't likely to be surfaced before that, so there's going to be a lot of uncertainty. How do you think the protests will go?
I think the protests will probably be very angry. I think the protests will be deeply distrustful, and I can understand entirely why. And I think there is a lot of wheels in motion. There are a lot of balls in the air. You know, we don't know where they're going to land. And I think that the protest is important to continue showing, you know, all of us in here and everyone at Cabinet who are actually making this decision where the people of Ireland stand on this issue. But I think that in terms of trying to find a way through this and a way forward and a way to build trust again, as I say, a codicil, a written agreement, these assurances, these clarifications in writing so that they are there this year, next year, 100 years, 300 years.
Given the uncertainty, given the anger that you allude to, would it be wise to extend the time period just to give more time for reflection and consideration instead of signing off on Tuesday on this billion euro project?
I think the time period should be as short as it needs to be. But if a codicil, if there is agreed to in principle and it isn't completed, then yeah, we do need to have that extra time. Like, this project has been long delayed for many years. A few extra weeks, if it's needed, I don't see a difficulty in that.
Well, to discuss all of this further, we're going to talk now to Alice Murphy, who's a partner at Mason Hayes & Kern and legal advisor to the National Maternity Hospital in Holles Street. And you're very welcome to the programme this evening, Alice. We might start with that codicil, because you heard there what Patrick Costello had to say as a Green Party TD, and I know some of his colleagues also share his view, and indeed outside of the party, many people share his view that they'd like to see this definition of what is clinically appropriate somewhere in the legal documents for this agreement. Is that going to happen, do you think, or have you had any contact in relation to it?
Good afternoon, Sarah. Thank you. So I can repeat what Professor Shane Higgins, the Master of Holles Street, said earlier on today, which is that the hospital is open to defining the term and would be very pleased, I think, to see a definition of the term, given all that we've heard over the last week in relation to people's concerns. I haven't seen a list yet from the Department of Health. One would expect the Department of Health to do the initial work on any such list or codicil. And no doubt if they're doing that work, it'll be winging its way over to the hospitals.
Just for people actually who might, including myself, who might not be that familiar with that phrase, codicil, and what legal standing that would have, would it be equal with all the rest of the legal documents? It's effectively an addendum, is it?
Yes, I was going to use the word addendum or appendix or annex. It's a short document that would go on to the end of a legal agreement to provide the clarity that people are seeking.
I know you said that you'd agree with what Shane Higgins said earlier today, which is that the National Maternity Hospital would be open to changing it. But what is your legal advice at this point, given all the questions that have been raised around whether or not there's enough doubt around that phrase? Because the Taoiseach has said earlier today that he doesn't believe it raises enough doubt worthy of changing. From a legal perspective, do you think there's sufficient doubt here that it should either be removed or defined?
So what I think you're asking there, Sarah, is whether, given all that we've heard, I would be comfortable with the term as it is. Mm. I'd firstly like to make a comment about the term because we keep hearing clinically appropriate. When one goes to the documents themselves, what you see is a positive obligation on the new hospital company to provide all clinically appropriate and legally permissible healthcare services. And to me, that was clearly a two-step positive obligation that this hospital would and must provide all clinically appropriate and legally permissible services. So that's the history of the drafting. In relation to people's worries, I am of the view that we have to take on board people's worries and concerns. And there's no doubt that people have been worried and concerned. And, I understand it's from a media report this afternoon that you have the source saying that the codicil is in play. And that, I believe, is the Minister for Health listening to people's concerns.
So your understanding is that there is a codicil in play, as you put it?
That's what I've been informed.
Okay. That means then the phrase won't be removed, it will be defined.
No, I can't confirm that to you, Sarah. Your researcher was the one who informed me of the codicil. A codicil has not come to me yet, and I'm not in a position to confirm whether the intention is to remove or to define. I think that confirmation should come to you from the Department of Health.
Okay. Would it take long to change it then? Because we've heard different sort of speculation on this. Some people suggesting it could take weeks because it might require reopening the constitutions, and others suggesting, I think Shane Higgins himself suggested, it's two words, could be done very quickly.
Yeah, I think I'm probably with Shane Higgins on this. I don't see why it would take a huge amount of time.
You mentioned the history of the drafting. Can you tell us, who suggested the phrase clinically appropriate in the first place, or clinically anything, clinically indicated, clinically appropriate? Who put that phrase on the table?
No, I can't tell you that, Sarah. I'm sorry. That would relate to the drafting of the three parties. And as I mentioned in advance, I'm here as legal representative to only one of those three parties. So that's probably not an appropriate question for me to answer.
Okay. All right, because I think we've been told it came from the HSE, but I understand your position on that.
Sure.
St Vincent's Healthcare Group have accepted an invitation to appear before the Oireachtas Committee next week. I think they're going to appear on Monday, mm-hmm. and maybe that question indeed might be put to them on Monday. But also plenty of other outstanding questions for them, including why they want representation on the board at all, why they don't want to gift or sell the land, whether they believe they'll own the building, whether the state will effectively own the land, or whether they believe they will own the land. hand. And on maybe that final issue of ownership, we might start with why St. Vincent's don't want to sell or gift the land, and the explanation that's been given to us is that they need to own it to deliver integrated healthcare. Do you accept that explanation?
So I was going to restate it as well, Sarah. That is the explanation that has been given to us. And on this, I think what I would speak to is my knowledge generally of voluntary hospitals and of how they operate. And in Dublin, as has been stated a lot over the last week, we have three large maternity hospitals, all of which are voluntaries. And when you consider the integration of a campus between a voluntary maternity hospital and a voluntary acute adult hospital, yes, I can very clearly see why it would be a good and a sensible idea to have one legal owner of the overall site and to have the site held by way of a long lease hold. A long lease hold in real estate practice is a very standard and normal and acceptable and not a worrisome structure for owning land. So any multi-occupancy development, by which we mean, you know, a shopping centre, an apartment block, a complex that has more than one building or business on it, it is standard practice to hold those buildings by way of a lease. So it doesn't cause a concern for me, and I don't believe it causes a concern for any of the three parties that the legal structure we've decided on here is a lease.
Just on that comparison that you've made with apartment blocks, for example, or shopping centres, and they're having long leaseholds. Stephen Dodd, who's the senior counsel who wrote a critical analysis of this agreement earlier in the week, he makes the point that apartment leases, you can't compare them to a lease for a state hospital. They're not dealing with sensitive matters of state healthcare. They don't have, you know, clauses that have become as controversial as the clinically appropriate clause, for example. That this is different. It's very different from a shopping centre or an apartment.
Yeah, and state healthcare brings up, I think, one of the cornerstones to the issue that faces us. So I have, in reviewing, you know, quite a lot of information over the last week, in my own mind, divided the camps into, you know, those who are concerned, having worries about women's healthcare, and those who are simply opposed to the notion of anything short of full state ownership. So perhaps the opinion you're referring to was more going down the model or the line of full state ownership. And certainly we've heard over the last week from politicians and citizens who favour full state ownership only. And I would regard that as a political ideology or a political philosophy. But I'll restate again what Shane Higgins said to the press this morning. Hollis Street Hospital is a voluntary hospital. It is not a state hospital, a HSE hospital. St. Vincent's is a public voluntary hospital. Mm. So you will always have political ideology, political parties who don't believe in the voluntary sector, who feel that all our public services should be directly delivered by the state. It was never on the table that this project would be directly delivered by the state. This maternity hospital is part of the voluntary sector, which we have in Ireland, which is a vibrant, effective and a critical sector when one thinks of Irish charities and all of the services they provide to our citizens. So Hollis Street and Vincent's both fall into that bracket. And if we have opponents of this project who believe that all state healthcare should be provided directly by the HSE, then we're not going to get those people on side. Mm. And we have to accept that. But they have to then ask themselves, are they going to oppose what everyone in Hollis Street regards as a desperately needed public maternity hospital for the 21st century in Dublin?
Yeah, I suppose the problem there being that St. Vincent's continues to own the land, whereas Hollis Street, while it's a voluntary hospital at the moment, is it not on land owned by the state?
No, Hollis Street is on a long leasehold. The governors of Hollis Street own the Hollis Street building on a long leasehold. The governors
own
it. The state doesn't own it. Yeah. And that would be reflected throughout the voluntary hospital sector.
Okay. So on the issue of the Vatican Papers then, Peter Boylan, one of the big opponents of this, has asked for the publication of what papers they've been started to be called the Vatican Papers, but what papers would have been given to the Religious Sisters of Charity when they requested the Vatican for the shareholding to be transferred to St. Vincent's Holdings. He said Vatican permission was conditional on the sisters observing certain specified canon laws, and he asked, has anyone seen them? Has anyone asked for them?
Sure. So again, and forgive me for restating, but I have to confirm that I am the legal advisor to the hospital and not to the Religious Sisters of Charity or anyone else. But it is my understanding, and I'm very happy to share the understanding, that the Religious Sisters of Charity have concluded their involvement in healthcare and see themselves as, you know, having honoured their commitment to divest themselves of ownership at St Vincent's. They, being an order of Religious Sisters, are internally governed and bound by a set of rules known as canon law. And those rules have requirements when one divests or transfers out ownership of land. And it's clear from the papers published by Peter Boylan yesterday that the Religious Sisters of Charity complied with those requirements. Peter provided to the committee a one-page document, which was he called the canonical consent document from the Vatican. And that, I think, is where he's saying that the consent is conditional. To me, that read like a planning permission. You know, when one sees a planning permission, it says, I hereby give you permission to build X or Y building. And it says, given in compliance with section whatever of the planning acts.
Yeah.
So this. So,
but the question specifically he's raised is whether or not the Vatican has put any conditions in writing to the Religious Sisters of Charity, those conditions there before they could transfer this shareholding to St. Vincent's Holdings. And I'm just wondering, has anyone asked the Religious Sisters of Charity whether there are any conditions attached to their transfer of the shareholdings to St. Vincent's Holdings?
Yes, I think we have the chair of the board of St. Vincent's on record on this, very clearly saying that they have taken ownership of the shares and that no conditions were attached.
Okay, so that has been asked, but has anyone asked for any documents around it? Or do you not think that that's something that that is necessary?
No, I don't think that's something that is necessary.
All right. I think we're going to have to leave it there for the moment. No doubt there's going to be lots more discussion around this over the next couple of days. But thank you again for joining us this evening. That is Alice Murphy, who is the lawyer for the National Maternity Hospital at Hall Street.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Now, in reference to the interview earlier with Alice Murphy, the legal advisor to the National Maternity Hospital, Dr. Peter Boylan has been in contact with the programme after he was mentioned during the interview in relation to a document that he produced at the Oireachtas Health Committee yesterday. And Dr. Boylan says that, and I quote, in respect of the papers that need to be seen before government makes the decision, in the only letter in the public domain, the Vatican instructed the Sisters of Charity to observe certain canon laws in the transfer, and we do not know how the sisters have given effect to that instruction. He says he also gave the committee a further list of papers that are not yet in the public domain. And as I said earlier, no doubt more on that story over the weekend and next week also.